Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, well, away we go. So if you're a fan of the Celtics, I got some really good news for you. The Celtics are super high on Gordon Hayward right now. We heard it all last year, but they're super high on him right now. By the way, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. Your number is 617-779-7937. So, assistant coach Scott Morrison of the Celtics said this about Hayward. He's gotten, quote, stronger, faster, and leaner. Good news. Good news. Hayward leaning up a little bit. I would say that he needed to get leaner. Dude looked like he spent way too much time in the gym. Like he was lifting way too much. His upper body was way too big last year. He did not look like a basketball player. He looked like a linebacker in the NFL, like Gordo. Lean up a little bit, man, and apparently he's taking the advice. He's leaning up. By the way, I don't know if you guys missed it. He won the Comeback Player of the Year award from the Players Association. He won the Comeback Player of the Year award. I wonder, too, who else was up for that damn award? How did Gordon Hayward win this? The guy averaged 11 points per game, and he shot 33% from three-point territory, yet he won the Comeback Player of the Year award. I want to know who the hell else was up for that award. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. But again, this is what Brad Stevens had to say about Gordon Hayward. He was at Summer League. Brad had a lot to say. Quote, he started a little earlier than he does normally. You better be an early riser to catch him walking out of the door, let alone walking in it. So Brad Stevens saying, you know what? Gordon Hayward's ready for a bounce back season. You know why? He's getting to the gym early. Gordon Hayward's ready to go, baby. He's getting to the gym early. So you like to see this from Gordon Hayward leaning up a little bit. I like that. The one thing I'd say to Brad Stevens, though, he started a little earlier than he does normally. So this year he's starting to work out earlier than he did last year. Interesting. So he wasn't doing this last year, but he's doing it this year. Okay, noted. But nonetheless, when I look at this team right now and when I look at Gordon Hayward, what needs to happen with this Celtics team is roles need to be established, because that's been one of the biggest issues in the Brad Stevens era. Roles have not been established. That's what happened last year with this Celtics team. So when I look at Gordon Hayward, one thing that Gordon Hayward did last year was he did pass the basketball well. He did create for other people at a high level. Averaged 3.4 assists from the small forward position. Pretty good. His final year in Utah, he averaged 3.5 assists per game as well. One thing that Gordon Hayward can do is that he can create off the bounce and he can make plays for other people. So this is what I would say to Brad Stevens. This is what I want to see from the Celtics next year. I want to see Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker play the entire first quarter. And what I want him to do is I want him to take Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown out of the game at about the 6-minute mark. Then you put Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward back on the court together, and you have Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum on the bench. Because what happened with this Celtics team last year is nobody really understood their role. So I look at it in the case of Jaylen Brown. So he goes from a playoff run where he averaged 18 points per game, 47% from the field, 39% from three-point territory. And what made him great was he was a slasher, and he would get to the basket. He would be devastating in transition. And then what happened under Brad Stevens last year? Well, he gets into a starting lineup with Kyrie and with Tatum and with Horford and with Gordon Hayward to begin the season, and he has no role. He doesn't have a role. They're not running things for Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown standing in the corner. He's supposed to space the floor. That's not what Jaylen Brown is. Jaylen Brown is not a shooter. Now, he's improved as a three-point shooter. But what Jaylen Brown is he's a slasher. What makes Jaylen Brown devastating is those actions Brad Stevens runs out of the corner where Jaylen Brown comes sprinting off his screens. He gets the ball, and he's going downhill. But last year when Jaylen Brown was in the starting lineup to start the season, they weren't running those actions for Jaylen Brown. They were concerned about getting Tatum the ball. And Kyrie Irving was doing his thing. And Al was doing his pick and pop thing. But they weren't running that stuff for Jaylen Brown. So you wonder at the beginning of the season why Jaylen Brown struggled. Well, that's on you, Brad. You put him in a role that he's not familiar with. You put him in a role that doesn't promote his skill set. What a coach is supposed to do is he's supposed to put his players in the best possible positions to win. and you turn Jaylen Brown into a spot-up shooter. Absolutely clueless. Okay, so in this starting lineup, again, this year, there's still going to be a lot of mouths to feed. Tatum wants to prove himself. Jaylen Brown wants to prove himself. Kemba Walker's on a max contract. He's the point guard. He's going to be wanting to take a lot of shots. Heck, even the guy you picked up from Portland, Enes Kanter, who plays no defense, we know this. He wants to make some money. He's got a 2-year contract, but the second year is an opt-out. He wants to score some points while he's here. So there's a lot of mouths to feed still on this Celtics team. That's why I'd like to see you split these guys up more than you did a season ago and promote your player's skill set. I look at a guy like Tatum, and last year he bought into himself way too much. He heard all the praise. Remember, you had Kobe Bryant doing this detail thing on him on ESPN where he's pointing out how great Tatum was. And Tatum bought into himself too much. So when Jason Tatum came into last season, he's thinking, I got to establish myself as the guy with Kyrie. I got to be Kyrie's wingman. So what happened because of that? Jason Tatum built up some really bad habits. He kept taking those long twos, which from an analytical standpoint are the worst shots in basketball. The long twos, you shouldn't be taking those, okay? But Jason Tatum continued to take those long twos all season long because he wasn't held accountable for taking those shots. There were times where Brad Stevens may say something to him, but he continued to take those shots all season long. So what did that tell you? The coach wasn't doing enough to tell him, hey, you don't need to do that. Part of the issue with Tatum was his ego grew so much last year, where he felt like he needed to take over the offense. And at times last year, Jason Tatum completely hijacked the offense. And Jason Tatum tried to dominate the game, which I don't have a problem with. But when you hijack the offense, that's what I do have an issue with. And if you look at it, Jaylen Brown was punished for not shooting the ball well as a spot-up shooter when that's not what he does. Jaylen Brown is a slasher. He gets to the bucket. But Brad made him a spot-up shooter at the beginning of the season. Yet Tatum was allowed to develop all these bad habits. Take bad twos, take long twos, never got to the basket whatsoever. Only attempted 2.9 free throw attempts per game last year, which is atrocious for a guy of his talent level. So he was allowed to make all these mistakes, but Jaylen Brown wasn't. That's an issue for Brad Stevens. So how do you establish the hierarchy this year if you're Brad Stevens? Because last year you never did it. Nobody on this team knew their role with the exception of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving knew he could do whatever he wanted to do. He could do whatever he wanted to do. Everybody else, though, they all believed they were the second best player on the team. That's why you have a guy like Marcus Morris coming off the bench at the beginning of the season. All he would do was chuck it up. And once he had a nice start to the season from a shooting perspective, he felt all season long, every time I get on the court, I'm going to shoot the basketball. Black hole. Because Brad Stevens never said, hey, Marcus, that's a bad shot. You should not be taking those shots. You know when there's 20 seconds left on the shot clock, and once we get over half court, somebody passes it to you? You don't have to shoot the basketball. I don't need isolation basketball from you every damn time we come down the court. Now, another thing that Brad Stevens was talking about is he was talking about the culture of the organization. And this is what he had to say as it pertains to the culture. He said that everybody was a good guy and, quote, I don't have anything bad to say about anybody. Maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe Brad Stevens wasn't confrontational enough with these guys because clearly guys felt that they could do whatever they wanted to do. And this is a question I have about Brad Stevens going forward. Think about it. If you had a guy in Kyrie Irving last year that walked all over the coach, walked all over the organization, did whatever he wanted to do, right? He called out Brad Stevens publicly. Remember, he said, or essentially what Kyrie Irving said, is the reason they lost to the Hornets is because of the way they defended Kemba Walker. They weren't sending double teams at him. They weren't blitzing him like every other team in the NBA does. So he blatantly called out the coach. He also called out Brad Stevens in front of everybody in that Orlando arena when he didn't like to play at the end of the game. And what does Brad Stevens do after Kyrie Irving basically criticized the way that his team was defending Kemba Walker? What did Brad Stevens do? Brad Stevens came out, and Brad Stevens essentially apologized to Kyrie Irving. He said, I got to do stuff that's better and putting us in a better position to win games. So he actually took the bullet for Kyrie Irving. So if you're a guy in that locker room, do you respect a coach that allows a guy like Kyrie Irving to just walk all over the organization? Because I certainly wouldn't. Kyrie Irving ran the team. He did whatever he wanted to do. And Brad Stevens just came out after Kyrie Irving criticized him and said, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. As long as he says it publicly, I'm good with it. What? You're okay with a guy just walking all over you in the locker room? Are you serious? You're supposed to be the head coach of a basketball team, and that's what you're saying? So Brad Stevens, we know, lost the locker room last year. Are we so sure that Brad Stevens is equipped to handle NBA problems? So, for example, this year, think about what he's going through. So Kemba Walker's the new guy, and Kemba Walker is going to be the guy that is the face of the organization. So Kemba Walker walks in day one. He's the star. All right. Then you have Jason Tatum, who's looking to establish himself. He's looking to have a bounce back season after having a sophomore slump. All the efficiency numbers are down. He's looking to become a star in the league. He's looking to be that 10-time All-Star that people were saying he was going to be after his rookie campaign. So he's looking to establish himself. Jaylen Brown is going to be looking for a big-time contract. So Jaylen Brown's going to be looking to score. Jaylen Brown's going to be looking to put up numbers. I mentioned Cantor's a guy on a one-year contract with an opt-out at the end. He's going to be looking to put up numbers. He's going to be looking to score so he can get himself paid. And Gordon Hayward is trying to reestablish himself as an All-Star level player. So all those guys have individual interests. Just like last year, all those guys had individual interests. And Brad Stevens couldn't get them on the same page. When you look back to the seasons when Brad Stevens had success, what was going on? Oh, yeah, you had a bunch of injuries, and you had a clear pecking order. Like when Isaiah was here, Isaiah was the only great offensive player. So you had Al and Isaiah doing the pick and roll stuff. You had Jason Tatum wasn't even on the team yet. You had Jaylen Brown as a rookie. Marcus Smart, we know what his role is. He's a defender. So you had all the roles that were clearly defined. Avery Bradley, he was going to get his touches a little bit, shoot some threes, play some good defense. Everybody knew their role. But now with this team, it's the same question that we came into last year with. Who's doing what? Who's going to be on the court for this? So it's, again, we don't have clear-cut roles as we're entering the season with the Celtics. Do you trust that Brad Stevens is actually going to put the guys in the right position to win games? Because last year, he never did, and he never figured out a way to get these guys on the same page. What makes you confident that he's going to be able to do that going forward? Because we have no evidence that with a team with a lot of mouths to feed, that Brad Stevens is going to be successful. Yeah, when it's this group of upstarts and it's a group of guys that have no expectations, yeah, Brad can do that. And when it's one star like Isaiah Thomas, one elite player, if you will, at that point, because Isaiah Thomas is a fringy MVP candidate. Yeah, he can do it when that's the case. But when you have a bunch of different guys that are trying to establish themselves, in the case of Tatum and Brown, another guy that's trying to reestablish himself, in the case of Gordon Hayward, a guy in Kemba Walker that's going to want to prove he wants to live up to the max contract, and a guy in Enes Kanter that wants another contract, is Brad Stevens going to get all those guys to buy into one system? Because last year we saw it, and it didn't work whatsoever. And because Kemba's a better guy than Kyrie apparently as a teammate, it's all going to work out. Sorry, not buying it. Got to see Brad Stevens actually put guys in the right position, especially Jaylen Brown. Don't make him a spot-up shooter again, Brad. Please don't. I mean, come on. Use the guy's skill set to your advantage. I want to find out if Jaylen Brown is actually a guy that could be an all-star for years to come. Because you drafted him with the third overall pick. Let's see if he's that good. Let's see if he can live up to the hype. Because the thing with Jaylen is, you haven't even given him that opportunity. You haven't given him that shot. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 45 minutes or so on WEI Late Night. Let's get to Paul in Westfield. Paul, what's up, my friend?
Hey, good evening, Brian. How are you, bud?
Good, good. What do you got?
Well, I got an answer for you.
Okay.
I think you answered your own question. You brought to our attention that the conflict, the non-camaraderie. I guess Morris actually shoved Tatum in Miami. You heard about that, right?
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
Yes, sir. So you bring up, bad news bears type behavior, you know, and I think that pretty much says it, because didn't Brad and Danny give us one losing season after blowing up the team, and then we did a hell of a job after that winning, except mm-hmm. for this horrible playoff run with four in a row. You know, look at the game right. One, we blew them out. And then we pooped ourselves. It makes no sense how you go from that good to that bad. I think you're right. I think that team had problems, and they just knew they were being outbeat and didn't give a crap.
Yeah, another thing, you know what I hated, Paul, last year in that playoff run against the Bucks, Kyrie Irving was just taking dumb shot after dumb shot. Like, Kyrie Irving, we know he's a great shot maker, but he was taking some horrible shots. The shot selection was just very, very bad, and Brad did nothing about it. He just allowed him to keep taking dumb shot after dumb shot. And the other thing, Paul, that I hated, Brad Stevens quit in that series. He put Daniel Tice in a closeout game in the game in the second quarter. Okay, in a closeout game, he put Daniel Tice on the court. He quit that game. He threw in the towel, just like the team threw in the towel. He did as well.
Yeah, you know what? Posture and temperament analysis, body language is everything, you know. So listen, my next question is really obvious. Washington is the favorite. They look like the best team in our division, which means our division is open now that LeBron's gone. And that Toronto team that really looked like a perennial upcoming.
You mean Philly, powerhouse. Paul? You mean Philly's the favorite?
Well, Philly and Milwaukee, but yes, sir. Yeah, Philly, Milwaukee. But Brian, this is what I don't understand. What the heck is the Clippers thinking? Like, Toronto couldn't step up and pay to keep, you know, their best player. What? How does this benefit either team?
Well, it benefits the Clippers because now they're the favorite to win the NBA championship. But Toronto did, Paul, all they could to try to keep Kawhi. Remember, they traded for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was a free agent. They treated him well. I mean, this is a guy that was coming off a serious quad injury where it's a chronic issue. It's called quadriceps tendinopathy. So it's something that flares up. They didn't play him in a single back-to-back. They won a championship. They surrounded him with a good team. He just wanted to go back to Southern California where he's from. There's nothing Toronto really could have done.
Oh, the hometown effect. Okay, finally, someone answered my question. It seemed illogical, but I'm not buying into that L.A. suddenly the favorite. You imagine now Chris Paul and Harden aren't getting along. No one wants to pay CP3. Golden State is no longer golden. Durant is a big part, and Curry can't carry that team. We're looking at like a new era opening up where it's pretty much up in the air to see who actually is going to perform because what you can do on paper and what you can actually do in person are two completely different things. And I'm not buying into the Clippers just picking up them two players with Paul George and Leonard. I'm not seeing them suddenly that great because basketball is a five-man sport. And if you don't have 3 to 4 superstars, you're not playing against a good team.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I appreciate the phone call, Paul, as always. His line's open if you'd like to grab it at 617-779-7937. I look at the new NBA. I'd say the Clippers are the favorite because you have Kawhi, you have Paul George in there. Now, Paul George probably going to miss the first month of the season. This guy had two shoulder procedures. But you got Pat Beverly. They still had a nice team. Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell. I'd say the Clippers are the favorite. You got the Lakers right in there as well, and you got the two teams in the East, Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Houston is obviously a team that's got some at least familiarity with each other, although apparently Harden and Paul hate each other. But the one thing that I would say, and to Paul's point, the thing that I really like about what he said about the new NBA, this is what I loved about Kawhi Leonard's decision. If he went to the Lakers, the NBA is irrelevant for the next couple of years in terms of the product on the court, right? Who cares? Are you going to watch it when Anthony Davis and LeBron and Kawhi are all on the same team? That would have sucked. Because you would have known exactly going into the season who's going to win the championship unless two of them got hurt, right? So it would have been no fun watching the NBA. Now what I think we have is it almost has an NFL feel to it. When the NFL starts up, like 18 teams think they can win the championship. Not that they all can, but we all think we can name 10 teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year, right? Think about the AFC, the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Colts. You look at the NFC, you got the Philadelphia Eagles. You got the Rams, right? So there's a ton of teams every year you can go through that have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And now for the first time in, like, forever, we don't have, like, a huge favorite heading into the season. Yeah, the Clippers and the Lakers are probably the favorites, but Milwaukee has a case. Philadelphia has a case. Houston has a case. All these teams think they have a legitimate shot when usually this decade's been about the super team, right? The Heat were always the favorites, and sometimes they didn't win, but they were by far the favorites coming into the season. When we looked at it the past couple of years, the Warriors by far the favorites, and they would have won again if Durant didn't get hurt and Klay Thompson didn't get hurt. So the best thing about Kawhi's decision is we now have, like, legitimate parity in the NBA. For the first time that in really my lifetime, I can't remember it being this wide open. Even going back into the 80s, you had the Celtics and the Lakers always the favorites. Then the Pistons came along. In the 90s, it was Jordan's Bulls. And then you had the Rockets when Jordan was off. And then this past decade, it's been about the Heat, and it's been about the Warriors. And now it's wide open. If you want to give me a case for Philadelphia, I'll entertain it. You want to give me a case for Milwaukee, I'll entertain it. Same thing with the Clippers or the Lakers. You have a bunch of teams that can win the championship, and I don't remember in recent history us actually having that type of conversation when it comes to the NBA. We do it every year with the NFL, and there's still way more parity in the NFL, obviously. But when you look at it from the NBA's perspective, we're used to one or two super teams, and that's it. Now, instead of the trios, if you will, the big threes, like we've seen here with KG and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, really since that group started, you've had a big three. You've had the Heat's big three, after the Celtics' big three, then you had the Golden State big three. This year, there's no big three in the NBA. There's no big three in the NBA. It's all duos. It's Paul George and Kawhi and Durant and Kyrie, although Durant's not playing this year. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis. You have the duos rather than the big threes. There's not that overwhelming favorite that we've seen in recent years, which I absolutely love. I absolutely love the fact that we're actually having multiple teams that think they have opportunities to win an NBA championship. All right, a lot more to get into. We can continue to talk about the Celtics. They made a roster move today, which looks really, really bad for Danny Ainge. I'll get to that in just a second, but before we do any of that, I'll get you trending right here on WEI. Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Sox made a roster move, releasing Tyler Thornburg after the reliever refused a minor league assignment. Thornburg pitched in 16 games this season, posting a 7.71 ERA. The Sox return from the All-Star break this weekend. They'll host the Dodgers in a World Series rematch. We'll, of course, have the three-game set for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Eduardo Rodriguez will get the start on the mound Friday night. Chris Sale will go on Saturday. And David Price toes the rubber on Sunday Night Baseball. The Celtics released big man Gershon Yabusele. Yabusele was a first-round pick in 2016. He averages 2 points per game in two seasons with the Seas. The Celts topped the Nuggets 95-82 in Summer League action on Tuesday night. Carson Edwards led the way with 23 points. The Green will play the Grizzlies on Thursday night. Whether it's in the mid-70s in Boston, pretty nice day. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That front line, maybe not on length, but it reminds me a little bit of the Jordan Pippen Harper front line.
Right.
In 98, you couldn't get the basketball across half court against them because they just lined up and said, here we are.
Right.
And they were much, again, they're long. But so are Paul George and number two.
Right.
They're long.
I love how Skip Bayless does that. Oh, get over it, man. He still calls Kawhi Leonard number two. He won't call him by his name. That's on brand for Skip Bayless. Brian Barrett with you. 617-779-7937, the number. With you for the next half hour or so here on WEI Late Night. All right, so another thing that pertains to the Celtics. Gershon Yabusele was cut today. The arrow was short for him. Remember, this is a guy that in the Summer League this year played in two games. He was one of seven from the floor in two games in Summer League. Okay, shocker. The guy was never in shape, completely out of shape when he came to Summer League this year again. And look, I understand that he was the 16th pick. You're going to occasionally miss on draft picks, and more than occasionally. But the problem I have with Danny Ainge, as it pertains to this pick that he missed on, is he doesn't know how to draft big men. When's the last time Danny Ainge has drafted a competent big man? Perkins? Al Jefferson? Is that when you have to go back? Think about the guys that he's drafted that have been big men here for the Celtics in recent history. Jared Sullinger, like, he's got a type. That dude was fat and out of shape, and he proved to continue to be fat and out of shape. Zizic, the kid they traded to Cleveland, that guy's not good. The late Fab Melo, who passed away, couldn't move his feet whatsoever, was not an NBA-caliber player. So all these guys that Danny Ainge has drafted at the big man position, none of them have panned out. Now, maybe Robert Williams will be the one guy that pans out, but again, when you look at Robert Williams, this is somebody that's a project, right? This is somebody that's a couple years away from being a competent NBA player. Now, he's going to play a role on this team this specific season, but it's going to take him a while before he's an established NBA player, if you will. What I don't understand from Danny Ainge, it doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, so if you look at big men across the NBA, what's the skill set you're looking for today? These guys need to be able to cover the pick and roll. They have to be able to move laterally. And from an offensive perspective, big men have to do one of two things. And if you can do both, great. Either you can roll to the basket on a pick and roll and catch a lob, or you can pick and pop. And all these guys that Danny Ainge continue to draft could do like none of these things. I don't understand it whatsoever what he's seeing with the big men that he drafts. It makes no sense. And the Yabusele pick, remember, this made no sense. They were comparing him to Draymond Green. Really? So, like, literally one of the most unique players in the history of the sport. That's who you thought this guy was going to be with the 16th pick in the draft. Because he had a similar body type? Okay, Draymond Green is a 6'8" guy that can dribble the basketball, that can get up and down the court, that's an elite-level defender. And you expected Gershon Yabusele to turn into that guy. The dancing beer. The dancing bear. Okay, this guy was out of shape each and every year. He was out of shape when you drafted him. And that's another thing. We look at it, right? We always hear about how great the Celtics culture is. This guy couldn't get in shape when he was with the Celtics. He's been in the program for, what, 2.5 years now, and he's still out of shape? At what point was the Celtics culture going to kick in? At what point was that going to happen? Was the Celtics culture ever going to kick in? I just don't understand it. So Danny Ainge literally had one of the best modern-day big men in the NBA on his team for the past three seasons, and Al Horford. Al Horford could do everything you wanted from a modern-day big man. He was an elite defender, could defend multiple different positions. In fact, you guys identified him as your best defender on Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's the MVP of the league. And not only could he defend Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you needed him to cover a legitimate big man, which there's not many of them left in the NBA in terms of guys that teams actually play through, he could actually defend Joel Embiid, who's 7'2". So he could defend Joel Embiid, and he could defend Giannis Antetokounmpo. And from an offensive perspective, he was a great passer. He could pick and pop and shoot threes. So you actually had, like, the prototype of what the modern-day NBA big man is supposed to look like on your team. You sign him in free agency. And then with all these guys you're taking in the draft, as it pertains to big men, they don't fit the profile of what a modern big man is. Gershon Yabusele, undersized, out of shape, can't shoot. What's his role in the NBA? Doesn't have one. We've seen he got released. Okay, Fab Melo, who unfortunately passed away too early. I remember I covered him when he was at Syracuse. But Fab Melo is somebody that came into the NBA, was out of shape in college, could not move his feet. Couldn't move his feet. Okay, he put up numbers at the collegiate level from a block standpoint because he played in a zone defense. He didn't have to move. He didn't have to move and he was over 7 feet. What do you think is going to happen at the collegiate level? But he had no work ethic and no athleticism. So anytime you put that guy in a pick and roll, he turned into a pretzel. He had no hope whatsoever. So again, a big man that couldn't move his feet, not to mention wasn't athletic. Zizic, the kid you drafted. Now he's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I guess the only good thing about him was he was part of the Kyrie trade. Not that that's what they wanted, but he was salary filler, if you will. Good thing he's not in the roster anymore because, again, another big man that couldn't move his feet. So for whatever reason, Danny Ainge has not been able to draft big men. It makes no sense to me whatsoever that he doesn't understand what the modern-day profile is for big men in the NBA. He's drafting guys that cannot move their feet laterally and cannot shoot. I can't understand what he's doing. I really can't. Like, Danny Ainge, I'll give him credit with this. He was ahead of the curve in terms of the wings, right? Danny Ainge has put a lot of resources into wings because he's saying you can never have too many wings. So with the third pick, he drafts Jaylen Brown. All right, at that particular point in time, the guy that I wanted them to draft was Jamal Murray. But I could understand what he was doing. He was saying, we want wing guys. We want guys that are athletic dudes on the wing that can defend multiple positions, that can handle the basketball, that can shoot, that can drive. All right, that makes sense. I understand what he's doing. Then the next year, he drafts Jason Tatum. I understand what he's doing. He'd rather have the wing guy than one of the point guards. And obviously, we've seen that Fultz and Lonzo Ball have been, well, Fultz has definitely been a bust, but Lonzo Ball has been like, not great. He's fine. Whatever. Not better than Jason Tatum, obviously. So that's why I give him a pass with a guy like James Young, because I understood what he was doing. Like, James Young working out in the NBA made sense. He's 6'8". He could dribble the basketball. You thought with his frame he could be a defender. Okay, didn't work out. You're going to miss on guys. But what baffles me about the big men that he continues to miss on, none of them fit the profile of what a modern-day NBA big man is. That's what irks me when it comes to Danny Ainge with the big men. Because think about it now. Don't you think that they should have had a replacement for Al Horford starting to be groomed already? Shouldn't they have had a backup center that was young on the team? This is why Danny Ainge has to get a kid from Germany and Daniel Theiss, because they don't have competent big men. Daniel Theiss sucks. Has anybody thought he's done anything good since he's been with the Celtics and you brought him back? Okay, remember, you had to sign Aaron Baines a couple of years ago because you didn't have competent backup big men because you failed in the draft in that capacity. Okay, that's why you have to bring in Aaron Baines. And I like Aaron Baines the player. This isn't an Aaron Baines thing. He played a pivotal role for the Celtics over the past couple of years, although from a health perspective, you can't depend on the guy. But he played a role on the Celtics, okay? Because you needed to go out and get that guy because Danny Ainge hasn't been able to draft any big guys that can give you serious minutes. So you're going after guys like Daniel Theiss and Aaron Baines to back up Al Horford. This is where the Celtics organization has failed in the draft over the past couple of years. Why aren't you drafting either an elite, or I should say, an elite level athlete at the big man position that can roll to the rim and from a defensive perspective can guard the pick and roll and can block shots? Either draft that type of player or draft the type of player that from a big man position can actually shoot. And Danny Ainge, for whatever reason, has drafted none of these guys. The guys that Danny Ainge likes to draft in terms of the big men, yeah, let's get the slowest plodding guy we can get. Maybe he's a little bit undersized and he'll work in our system. Jared Sullinger, give me a break. That guy couldn't dominate at the collegiate level like he was supposed to because he was chronically out of shape. What happened when he was on the Celtics? The dude ate himself out of the league. Same thing with Yabusele. Guy's completely out of shape. You think he's going to get to the Celtics and he's going to get in shape? No. Okay, Zizic, kid couldn't move. Good thing you got rid of him. Fab Melo, same thing. Could not move his feet whatsoever. So I don't understand why you have a president of basketball operations that can't understand the role of the big man in the NBA today. It makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. In all honesty, maybe you can help me at 617-779-7937. When is the last time that Danny Ainge drafted a competent level big man? Been years. It has been years since Danny Ainge has delivered. That's what I'm saying. Like, I give him credit for what he's doing on the wings. It makes perfect sense to me. Keep using resources to draft guys on the wing. That's why I love the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum picks. Now, like I said, the Jaylen Brown draft, the guy that I wanted them to take was Jamal Murray. But I was fine with Jaylen Brown because I saw the plan. I saw what Danny Ainge had in mind with that pick. All right, so that's fine. Jason Tatum, obviously, hit a home run. Now, we'll see if Jason Tatum continues to mature as a player because he took a little bit of a step back. But you understood what he was doing. He wanted a bunch of guys that could play on the wings. That's why he goes out and gets a Gordon Hayward. He wanted a bunch of guys on the wings that were interchangeable defensively that could switch stuff, right? So that there was a plan there. I just don't understand what his plan's been in terms of the big men. Like, just think about it from this perspective. So Al Horford's now 33, and he just signs a contract with the Philadelphia 76ers. And we know that contract's going to look absolutely garbage at the end of it. When Al's 37 and he's making like $30 million per season, that's going to be a bad contract. Let me ask you this. If Bill Belichick was in a position where he had a guy that was aging at a position, don't you think he would be developing a young player underneath him? Like, that could take over his spot eventually. And don't you think that he would have a plan? Like, that's why I look at Bill Belichick. Just think about a plan he had this year. So he knew that Trey Flowers could leave. So what does he do? He goes out on the market and he trades for a Michael Bennett to take over in Trey Flowers' spot. Now, is he as good? Is he as good as Trey Flowers? Maybe not at this particular point in time. But in his prime, he was just as good as Trey Flowers. But what you have is you have a replacement that is less expensive. So he had a plan on how he was going to replace the guy. He figured out a plan to replace the guy. With Danny Ainge, there was no plan to replace Al Horford. And when Al leaves, you're scrambling. So you go bargain basement shopping for a guy in Enes Kanter who, let me tell you, is a DH. All he plays is offense. He plays no defense whatsoever. He is a DH. So if Danny Ainge had been grooming the next young big man for the Boston Celtics, like he had actually, you know, delivered in the draft with a competent guy going forward, then you wouldn't be as worried with this Al Horford situation. But again, Danny Ainge has whiffed and whiffed and whiffed again when it comes to big men in the draft. 617-779-7937. Jeff's in New Hampshire. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, I totally disagree with you about the Danny Ainge big man scenario. A couple things.
Who do you like?
Well, it's not so much who I like. What I'm saying is the big man in the NBA is kind of a bygone era for the most part. And you got these guys who are 7 feet tall and play like they're 6 foot two. So I'm not too surprised when he can't find somebody with the draft picks they've had, because the only other ones out there that have been successful in the last decade have been a total surprise unless they're in the top three picks. The other thing is, you're telling me that Horford's an elite defensive player against Antetokounmpo, or whatever his name is? He had one good game against him, and then Yanni ate his lunch and bounced us out of the playoffs.
No, Jeff, what I'm saying is losing Al Horford, he was the Celtics' best option on Antetokounmpo, and he was the Celtics' best option on Joel Embiid.
I agree on the Embiid thing, but as far as him stopping Giannis, there's no way.
No, and I never said he shut him down. I'm just saying he's your best option on him. Who are you putting on Giannis this year? Jason Tatum? Jaylen Brown?
I got to agree with you on that. I'm very nervous about the year going forward. The other thing that comes to mind is with all the Kyrie bashing that's been going on, if you look around the edges, it was not just Kyrie. You got three of the young Turks who were trying to flex their NBA muscle. Didn't help the situation at all.
Well, you know, another hypothetical, Jeff, is with this Celtics team to happen. And I'm not blaming the guy for this because obviously it was a catastrophic injury. But what if Hayward never has the injury? Because remember, Hayward was an all-star his final year in Utah. If Hayward just was 85% of the player he was in Utah this year, maybe you don't have all the issues you have in the locker room because Kyrie has a legitimate running mate.
I totally agree. I'm hoping that they can shift the offense maybe so that Hayward becomes more of a point forward, more of a contributor in that mold than having to have it all go through the point guard.
Jeff, I'm with you on that. What I want them to do is I want them to play Tatum and Kemba Walker for the entire first quarter, because a lot of guys do that in the NBA. And then I want Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward to play the first 6 minutes and then start the second quarter together. So Gordon Hayward can, as you say, almost be the backup point guard. I rather Gordon, because Gordon Hayward, when he's at his best, is he's creating for other people. And Jeff, if you look at it, on this team, with the exception of Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward's the only other guy that can make plays for other people. When I look at Brown and I look at Tatum, and this isn't a criticism of them, they're play finishers. They're not guys that create for other people. So I want Hayward being the secondary point guard, if you will, the backup point guard. That's where he's at his best. And even last year, when he was injured, we saw flashes of that player, at least.
I agree with that. Now, one more question, and I'll let you go, is would you have taken a flyer on...
Yeah, you're breaking up, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call.
Antetokounmpo?
Who was that, did he say? Would you take a flyer on who? Could you guys make that out? Yeah, I don't know who he's saying. Flyer on who?
Antetokounmpo?
If he was asking to take a flyer on Bol Bol, I would have done it. Why not? I would have taken a flyer on Bol Bol. How about this? Amari Stoudemire's out there. You're looking to get Amari Stoudemire? Apparently he had a private workout with the Knicks. Apparently it didn't go well because the Knicks aren't going to offer him a contract. Amari's trying to make his way back into the NBA. All right, if you want to hop on board here, your number 617-779-7937. What do you make of the Celtics roster heading into the 2019-2020 season? Plus, what do you think Chris Sale is going to do in the second half of the season? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The great, why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up?
Dude.
Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not standing, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, too.
You shut the f*** up.
Go ahead and attack me, yeah. Big.
Oh my god. I just bagels.
You don't talk.
I recorded the whole thing.
Oh, that's classic. Okay, so that was a dude basically in a bagel shop today in New York, I believe. So he's upset about the way that women are treating him on dating sites, apparently. So
yeah,
he just
absolutely.
Went nuts
he,
in, he just went nuts
he
in a bagel
He got made
shop?
Fun of on dating sites about his height being 5 feet tall, so it might be a little bit of the Napoleon syndrome there.
Jeez, and some guy just took him down, huh? Chill out, man. Ooh, guy's going absolutely nuts. By the way, I've just been handed the SB winners from tonight. This one's actually good. Best game, the Rams' record-setting victory over Kansas City. That game was crazy. That game was almost too much offense. Let's see. Best record-breaking performance, Drew Brees. Saints quarterback broke the NFL all-time record for passing yards in that Monday night game. I do remember that. My God, did they drool over him in that one. Best team, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. How do you determine that? How do you give out a best team? So how do you determine if the women's soccer team is better than, say, like the Patriots or the Raptors or the Blues? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Bill Russell, by the way, won the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. That makes sense. Best breakthrough athlete, Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Everybody knew who Saquon Barkley was. How do you break through? He was good at Penn State. Everybody, he was a household name coming out of, he was the biggest name in that draft, him and Baker Mayfield. Okay, best moment. Lindsey Vonn, Rob Gronkowski, and Dwayne Wade cap incredible careers. So I guess it's best moments. It's not best moment. It's best moments. And by the way, what was Dwayne Wade's moment? Rob Gronkowski, like, had a legitimate moment. He had a catch to set up the touchdown in the Super Bowl. Best comeback. Nobody's going to like this. St. Louis Blues. They went from last in the league in early January to winning the franchise's first championship in their 52-year franchise in June. Yeah, still waiting for Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand to show up for that series. Still waiting for that. By the way, I want to get to this real quickly before I leave for the night. Have you seen what the Atlantic League is doing? So baseball is looking for all these gimmicks to apparently promote their product. So the Atlantic League is what they use to experiment. They did robo-umps in this league in the past. So what they're doing in the Atlantic League is essentially if any ball hits the ground, like so if it's a slider in the dirt on an 0-1 count, you can steal first base. So you can steal first base. Like, for example, you know, on a called on a third strike when first base is open or when there's two outs, in any case, you can run to first base, which I've always thought is a dumb rule to begin with. Why should you be awarded for striking out? That's just the dumbest rule I've ever heard of to begin with. You strike out, yet it's a nasty slider that you swing at. It goes past the catcher, so you can go into first base. It's a super rule to begin with. But so now in the Atlantic League, any time that a ball gets past the catcher, or any time really the catcher doesn't catch it cleanly, you can steal first base. So it could be like an 0-1 count. This pitcher throws you a nasty curveball, and you look like an idiot for swinging at it, but it goes to the backstop, and you just run off and take first base. This isn't even the sport. It's not even baseball anymore. Oh, what's going on here? It makes no sense whatsoever. So the Atlantic League is going to do this. If that's what you think is going to sell more tickets to go to games, if that's what you think is going to get more people to watch baseball, this sport is more clueless than I thought it was. Really. That's the type of gimmicks that you're coming up with. That'd be like if the NBA adopted what the Big Three is doing, the four-point shot. Like Steph Curry can just come over half court, take a shot, it counts for 4 points. That's what it'd be like. It's so dumb. Baseball has no idea what it's doing whatsoever. That is a mockery of the sport in my mind. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right, thanks to Joe and Brian for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. SB Nation Radio coming up next. Have a great night. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.